Is this too tall, you think? That's kind of dull tonight. Would you polish it a little while you're over there? couple of house dicks just went down. Did you meet George Fenham in the... announcer on the show? He has his own show in the afternoons, Colgate's. Show him your teeth, George. I like the Colgate show. I just listen for the commercial. I don't care anything about George's contribution to that. Commercial is just superb. Brush your teeth with Colgate's. Oh, Colgate's dental cream, it cleans your teeth. What a toothpaste! What a toothpaste! Now, show them when you don't like your teeth, George. He has many different faces, you know.
Yeah, man.
Each one is worse than the succeeding one. Huh?
All right.
Are you going to start?
Yes.
Oh, I don't mind.
Don't forget the crowd show.
Why don't you tell him when the show will be on the air?
Yes.
You, since you've been talking to him for 10 minutes, you haven't told him anything yet. He's so crazy about that new suit, he can't remember anything. Do you get a vest with that, too? 3 pair of pants, nothing? Just a coat and trousers, huh?
We're on the air. 8:30 on Wednesday night.
You'll be hearing this on February 16th if you're home that night and not stewed. Yes, that's okay with me.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We ought to start because... the sponsor is here tonight and he hasn't had his dinner yet, and I don't want to infuriate him by postponing this thing too much. Go ahead, John. He's got a toothbrush in each pocket.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't tell anybody, but the secret word tonight is people.
Really?
No, wait a minute, I was going to spell it.
Well, I didn't know you could spell it, George. Without reading it, I mean. Let's try it once more. Now. This is for the captain to lie down dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't tell anybody. But the secret word tonight is people. P-E-O-P-L-E.
Really?
You bet your life. Elgin American, creators of America's most beautiful compact, smartest cigarette cases, finest dresser sets, present Groucho Marx in the Elgin American show, You'll Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here's that sterling Elgin American, the one, the only...
Groucho!
Well, glory be, that's me, Groucho Marx. Don't let's overdo it, huh? Thank you. Well, here I am again with $1,500 for one of our couples tonight. George Fenneman, who's first to try and take it away from me?
We invited several couples to the show tonight who are celebrating 50 years of marriage. And here's the couple selected for the studio audience just before we went on the air. Ed and Mabel Lemon meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome for Elgin American Compacts. And if either of you youngsters say the secret word at any time we're talking, you'll win a 16-millimeter Apollo Sound movie projector. It's a common word, something you see every day. So you two are celebrating your golden anniversary this year, eh? Well, my heartiest congratulations. Miss Mabel Lemon?
Lemon.
Is that the way you pronounce it? Lemon?
Yes.
Lehman or Lemon?
Lemon.
Lemon. What does your husband call you informally?
Toots.
And Ed, what does she call you when she wants to butter you up a little?
Pinky.
Does that have any legitimate derivation of any kind?
No.
Just something she picked out of midair? Huh?
Yes.
Just Pinky, huh? Yes. Could have been Punky just as well. Ed, when is your 50th anniversary?
The 10th day of February, 1 o'clock.
Is that Eastern time, or... Mabel, is that right?
No, he made a mistake of...
He did?
It was 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. It's before daylight saving. Ed, how can you be so forgetful? It only happened 50 years ago. Aren't you ashamed of yourself, Pinky? Pinky, aren't you ashamed of yourself? Apparently he isn't, huh? Mabel, to look at you, I'd never guess you'd been married half a century. There's not a mark on you. Does he remember your anniversary every year?
No, I don't think he does. Exactly.
You're not sure, huh?
No.
Well, when he forgets your anniversary, how do you remind him?
Well, I usually send him a little present about 3 days beforehand.
Like what?
Oh, just most anything. I don't...
Anything laying around the house?
Yeah, just anything laying around the house. Just a reminder.
An old turn-up or something?
Just a reminder.
How old were you when you got married, Mabel?
17.
And how old when you took this lovely girl to be your bride?
About 25 or 6. Mm-hmm.
What kind of a job did you have when you were married?
I was farming in the auctioneer business.
You were farming in the auctioneer business?
Yes, sir. I was farming and auctioneering.
Oh, farming
business.
And auctioneering. What do you mean? You'd run down with a plow down the long row and holler out the prices at the same time? That must have been pretty confusing, wasn't it? Did you ever play an old piano by mistake?
Never did.
Well, how did you happen to have twin occupations simultaneously?
Well, I was farming.
I thought that was a 24-hour job farming.
I took days off. When I could get a job selling a sale, I'd take a day off.
So you dropped the hoe and...
Yes, I dropped everything.
Onto the auctioneer's bench.
Yes, sir.
Well, what did you grow on this mythical farm of yours?
Corn.
Oats. That was before radio, I think.
Yes.
Corn and eggs? Grew eggs?
Oh, yes, we grew eggs.
They grow very high, those eggs?
No, sir. 10 cents a dozen along about that
ten
time.
10 cents a dozen, huh? Don't remind me of it. How much did you earn a week 50 years ago, Ed?
Oh, about $20, I expect.
No, you couldn't get along on that kind of money now. How much are you making now?
Nothing.
Nothing? Belong to one of the pyramid clubs?
I'm retired.
You're a regular Horatio Alger story, this is. Started with $20 a week, and now he's earning nothing. You're doing about as well as the government. Well, I should think at the rate you were going, you would retire. Now, Mabel, you don't mind if I call you Mabel.
Oh, no,
huh?
Not at all.
How many children? Everybody calls you Mabel, don't they?
Yes, most everybody.
Except Ed, huh?
Yes.
What does he call you?
Toots.
I thought I could trap her, but she stuck to her. How many children do you have, Mabel?
7.
And how many grandchildren?
9.
And great-grandchildren?
No, not yet.
Not yet, huh? Well, I'll appreciate an announcement when you're ready. 50 years, that's a long time, Ed. What were some of the big events of the day 50 years ago?
Teddy Roosevelt was...
Was Teddy Roosevelt, then?
Was Teddy Roosevelt?
I guess he was.
And along about the San Francisco earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Was Teddy in that? That's all that happened 50 years ago? Nothing else?
Well,
Spanish-American War?
Spanish-American War,
yeah.
Yes.
You think a little thing like that he could remember, wouldn't you? Well, I remember them, and I'm not as old as Jolson. Now, tell me some of them. Did he leave out any big events of 50 years ago, Mabel?
Yes, he did.
What was it, huh?
Well, we was married.
Married 50 years and you forgot it already, Eddie. Well, I have a big surprise for you two, for Mrs. Lemon. We want you to have a truly happy golden wedding anniversary. So here's your gift from Elgin American, a $250 solid gold compact. What do you think of it, Mabel?
Just wonderful.
Isn't
I
it?
Never had one like it.
And to make the celebration complete, Ed, you have my permission to kiss your wife. And I expect you to do that every 50 years, Ed. Now, let's see if we can ferret out the secrets of a happy marriage. How did you capture this old buck, Mabel? I mean this fellow 50 years ago. How did you meet him?
I met him at a party. At
what
a
kind of a party?
Oh, house party, play party.
Play party? What's a play party? Is that anything like a playpen?
Oh, no, it's just where they play games, you know, and such as post office and London Bridge is tumbling down and Skip to Maloo, my darling.
What was the last one?
Skip to Maloo, my darling.
Skip to Maloo, my darling? Is that as good as post office?
Yes. Not quite, though. Not quite, is it?
The stamps were much cheaper then,
yes.
Too, weren't they? Well, who did the proposing, you or Ed?
Well, he did, I guess.
He did, huh? And do you remember what he said when he proposed? Mm. Or were you in the middle of post office by that time? Huh?
Well, at least he thinks he did. I think he did.
What do you think he said? Can you remember that far back?
Well, I believe he told me I had a nice big trunk and it would hold all.
You had a big trunk?
All of our clothes.
I guess he thought he was proposing to an elephant. Well, I never heard of a man getting married just for a trunk, huh? Was this trunk filled? Well, I mean, was this the kind
of... Oh, no, he said he had lots of room, you know, for my clothes. That's he thought I could go along with him, you know.
Have you ever caught him flirting with other girls since you married? Look at that fake innocent look on Ed's face. Suppose you caught him chasing a pretty young blonde. What would you do, Mabel?
Well,
give him the trunk back?
I don't think he could.
You don't think he could?
No. Not at his age.
Mabel, you have no idea how innocent you are. Well, in your 50 years of marriage, what was your biggest mistake?
Going in with our relatives.
Took the trunk with you, I suppose, huh? There's no room for the relatives, but... What happened when you were living with the relatives?
Well, you know, a roof's not large enough for to cover two families.
Well, the roof is, but not the house, huh? Ed, when you were courting Mabel here, what did you do for entertainment? I mean, could you give me an idea of a sample evening?
Oh, yeah, we'd go out buggy riding.
Buggy riding?
Mm-hmm.
Take the trunk with you? And what happened in the buggy? Anything? I mean, you just keep riding?
Oh, well, yes, we kept riding.
The horse ever run out of gas?
Come to a nice shady spot. Probably we would drive under a tree and let the horse cool off.
Ed, are you sure it was the horse that needed cooling off? That's a horse of another color, right? Now, Ed, has Mabel been a good cook all these years?
She certainly has, yes, sir.
You look pretty thin.
Well. Yes, I'm thin, but I've always had...
Always packed away plenty of fodder,
yes,
huh?
Yes, sir.
Good trencher man, huh? Mm. What's your favorite meal, Ed?
Oh, potatoes, pork chops, and apple pie,
How often do you get a meal like that?
I haven't had one for 20 years.
And there are people around that say Coolidge isn't with us anymore. You haven't had a meal like that for 20 years. Why not, Ed?
Well, that's too starchy, too much starch.
Is that the reason, Mabel? He has to watch his diet?
No, it was me.
Ed, it took you 50 years to discover why you couldn't have your favorite meal. Now, all this time, you could have been eating pork chops and fried potatoes and apple pie, eh? You didn't have to miss it, did you?
Oh, no, I managed to get it every day down at the restaurant or some place where I could...
You see, Mabel, you didn't fool him after all. You didn't fool him at all, Mabel.
I knew it all the time.
You knew that he was eating this on the outside, eh? Black market meals you were having, eh? Well, I guess after 50 years of marriage, there are no secrets. Now, Ed, as a married man for 50 years, what's the most important advice you can give youngsters just starting out?
Well, I think that...
get their own trunk?
If you marry a girl, I think you'd better be sure that you loved her before you married her. And
be sure afterwards,
and
too.
And be sure after.
And always eat your meals in restaurants. Well, you're the sweetest pair of lemons I've ever seen. I guess marriage is easy when two people are really suited to each other. And after 50 years of happiness, I'd say your marriage is off to a very good beginning. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to play You Bet Your Life for $1,500. Penniman, what is your advice to the ladies? And have make it good, because the sponsor is sitting upstairs tonight. Huh?
I was about to.
And don't spell out the words. Because the sponsor went to college. In Hungary.
This will be great.
You may proceed, George.
Have you looked at your compact lately? If it's battered or shoddy, it should be discarded. This one accessory that you actually use more than any other, and use where people can see it, is extremely important to your smartness. So important, in fact, that fashion says every woman needs 3 compacts to keep her daytime clothes, sportswear, and evening apparel completely harmonious. Don't let your compacts count against you when you can get exquisite Elgin Americans from the widest choice there is of stunning styles and convenient prices. Elgin American designing is beautifully individual. The craftsmanship is famous for perfection. So look at your compact tonight. And tomorrow, get the new compact that will do the most for your smartness, because it's first in fashion and Elgin American.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. What question category did you select?
Wait.
Oh, you want this, too?
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you leave it over here? In the future, always leave it on this one. Especially when the sponsor is sitting upstairs. That new suit is driving you crazy. Now, let's see if you two will get a chance at the $1,500 question. You're going to play the Elgin American game, You Bet Your Life. Fenneman, tell them the rules.
Each of our 3 couples has $20. They bet as much of that 20 as they want on each of 4 questions. The couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,500 question at the end of the show. Our other 2 couples are in a waiting room offstage, so they won't know what goes on until it's their turn.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. What question category did you select?
Hotel.
Hotels? Famous hotels. Now, your 4 questions pay even money. Here's your first question. How much of the 10, 20 are you going to bet?
10.
10. All right. In what city do you find the Mark Hopkins Hotel? Take a guess. You too, Mabel.
It's in New York.
No, I'm sorry. It's San Francisco.
They lost $10. They now have $10.
You should have known that, Ed. It's only a few miles from here. Yeah. Now, remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. How much of the $10 would you bet on this one?
5.
5. All right. Now, in what city do you find the Roney Plaza Hotel?
I'm sorry. It's Miami Beach.
They now have $5.
Here's your third question. You've got $5, and how much are you going to bet?
Five.
Bet the all. That's right. In what city do you find the Book Cadillac Hotel?
Detroit.
Detroit is correct.
Well, they're on their way. They have $10.
Well, you've climbed up all the way to $10. Now, here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much are you going to bet of the ten?
Five.
$5. All right. In what city do you find the Bellevue Stratford Hotel? Take a guess.
New York City.
No, I'm sorry. It was Philadelphia. Well, I'd like to think that you have happy memories of your appearance here tonight, so I'm going to give you another chance. You answer this one correctly, I'll give you $10. And no coaching from the audience because it's very difficult. Are you ready? Think real hard now. I'm thinking of a number between 2 and 4. What is that number?
3.
3 is correct.
Your final score is $5.
Well, you didn't win much money, but you got that $250 gold compact from Elgin American, and I hope you enjoy your golden wedding. Stick around now. You may still have a chance at the $1,500 question.
Perhaps the next couple will say the secret word, Groucho. It's people. P-E-O-P-L-E. They've been in the waiting room off stage, so it's okay now, boys, to bring them in. Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected a housewife and an ambulance driver, Groucho, and here they come. Mrs. Rose Meldon and Mr. Frank Romaine meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome for Elgin American Compacts, folks. You know about the secret word. Here's a clue. It's a common word, something you see every day. You might say it at any time we're talking. An ambulance driver, eh? What kind of an ambulance do you drive?
I drive an ambulance for Los Angeles County General Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Oh, then you're not in the driver's seat all the time, huh? After the wedding, did you carry your wife over the threshold feet first? When Uncle Julius met Aunt Minnie, she was the stretcher case. Her girdle was too tight. Now, Mrs. Rose Meldon, you're a housewife. What does your husband do?
He's a star fixture man.
A what?
Star fixture.
Star fixtures?
Star fixtures.
And what does he do?
Cabinet maker.
Cabinet maker? Yeah. Like Truman, huh? How did you meet him?
Well, I met him at a dance. And my folks are very old-fashioned. They're from the old country, you know, and they just don't believe in fellas coming over to the house and taking the girlfriend out. So,
what do they believe in?
Oh, they just... you got to be engaged before you can go out.
Before you go out at all?
Oh, yes, that's right. You've got to be engaged to go out with them at all. So
you
my husband
had a pretty quiet life for a
while. Oh, no. I just went out. I sneaked out.
Sneaked out? How?
Yeah. Well, my husband was quite determined. So he'd climb up a telegraph pole with spikes.
Mm-hmm. And climb and slide up into the room? Eh?
Oh, no. Well, he'd get up with the spikes, you know, and get up there and tie himself with an apparatus. And my window was right through the pole there. And he'd watch me, try to talk to me through there, and say, well, how about a date? And then, of course, my father wouldn't see it. My mother, they couldn't speak English anyway. You know, in the old country, Armenia.
I see. And did he ever get electrocuted and fall down?
No, he'd stay there until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and then watch me, you know.
He was the first pole sitter, eh? You're Armenian and he was a pole, eh?
No! Oh, that's not it. And after a while, he'd... the next morning when I'd get out of bed, why, he'd be right down there to meet me. He'd get down off the pole again. That's no kidding. Of course, my mother would talk in Armenian, you know, tell me she's just going to kill me and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. He'd take me to work, and the next morning he'd try it all over again.
When did he sleep? Did he sleep on his pole?
He'd go to sleep about 5 or 6. He'd go down.
He'd
come back again.
He must have been pretty busy climbing up and down that pole. He must have been madly in love with you, Rose.
Well, I
don't,
think
not
he
that
was.
I blame him, but
Oh, you're nice.
Well, you're pretty nice girl now.
I could go through myself.
Did you have any other boyfriends who had other devices for getting at you?
Oh, I had another boyfriend. He was, of course, I forgot one time that my husband came after me. He put a great big ladder up and he tapped at the window and I sneaked out. And
did he have his spikes on this
night? Oh, no. No, he came up with the ladder there and I got in back of him and we both landed down together at the bottom of the ladder. And then when I got home at night, I got up with the ladder again, and my father just sprang at me like a lion, just going to kill me. So, of course, then I had the other boyfriend like you asked, and
the other
10 years older than my husband. My mother didn't like him at all. She didn't like him at all.
She didn't like the other one?
No, because he liked to take a few drinks.
It's a good thing that
but my husband plays the horses now, and it's weird.
You mean he's watching him at the post now instead?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got it. Oh, boy.
Well, he's had a short life. He went from the pole to the post, that's all.
I wonder, tell me about the other boyfriend?
I'd like to hear something about all your boyfriends. Eh?
Well, this one was really funny. Oh, I was coming home from the YWCA one night. And,
likely story. And?
Then
you sure it wasn't the YMCA? Yeah?
And, well, they were both...
Now, before you start the story, were you married or single now?
Oh, no. The other fellow was very jealous. The one that's 10 years older. Very jealous. And, you know, my husband was only 17. So,
That's pretty young to be going up the pole, isn't it?
That's what I mean. He was crazy like that, you know.
Now, the other one.
And, well, the other one would follow as I was saying, I was coming from YWCA, and they were both YW. And they were both... well, they were both following one another, you know what I mean. And my husband had this flying cloud, you know, the big Rios, and the other one had the one that's 10 years older, that had a little bit of a Ford, you know, those Model Ts. And they would follow me along the curb, you know, and well, get in the car. So, my husband got awful mad. They did that for 15 blocks. One saying, come on, and the other one said, come on. And by this time, my husband got so mad, he said, I'll knock him off the road. So he ran right into him and knocked his car off the road, and cops came, and then I started to run because I didn't want my father and mother to hear about it. You know how old-fashioned they are. I knew I'd be in the papers then. You can't blame me.
I must say that your folks led a very sheltered life.
So when I got home, I'm not finished. When I got home.
You're not finished?
No, my husband ran up to me. Both of them coming up and
I'm a little confused now.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you that...
I don't know whether you're married to a Rio or a lamppost.
Well, anyway, the little Ford, the Model T Ford, was all over the street. The tire was flat, and he was out in the street, and they were fighting like anything. The cops were all around.
And so, Sam was flat by this time, too.
So when I got home, there was the both of them there. One was in the alley, and they started right up again. And then, of course, I was very mad with both of them, and my husband felt very bad. So another night, he decided it was my birthday. I'm going right into it. You just take out your knitting.
Well, you finally got married. Is that the...
No, he bought the gift, and... You're awful mad. he wanted to give me a gift, so...
Well, I'm pretty sick of the whole thing, but... Yeah. After that story, I feel like a stranger around. Would you mind shaking hands? I think I met you about an hour ago, huh? Well, we'd like you to have Elgin American's handsome cigarette case and two tones of jeweler's bronze. There you are.
Thank you very much.
And for our housewife, here is an Elgin American compact, round, slim, and finished in satin silver. How do you like it?
That's beautiful.
Keep it short. Now, Dr. Kildare... As an ambulance driver, just what are your duties?
Well, my duties vary. Sometimes we bring patients from their home over to the clinics at the hospital to be treated.
they're not bed patients. They don't require hospital attention. That is, right in the hospital. So we take them to and from their home. That's a clinic patient.
Mm-hmm.
Then one of our other duties are to bring sick people to the hospital from their home.
People.
Here we go again. You said people, and that's the secret word. So you each win an Apollo 16-millimeter sound movie projector, and you can enjoy movies every night in your own home.
Thank you.
Not only that, you could walk out of here tonight with $1,500. Now let's get back to business.
Go on, partner.
Now, Frank Romaine, the ambulance driver, what's the most unusual call you ever had?
Well, I believe the most unusual call I ever had was...
I just said that. I want the answer to that question.
Is a case called laryngeal diphtheria, where a false membrane forms across the throat, blocking the air passage. An emergency operation has to be done immediately so that the patient can get air, otherwise he chokes to death. Mm. And I've been on hand several times when that has happened. The doctor makes a slight incision in the throat, allowing air to get down the air tube.
I see. Now, what's the closest call you ever had?
The closest call I ever had, I believe, was the time...
they pet me up here and everything. One night, I got two lumps of sugar.
I was returning from Long Beach. Fortunately, the ambulance was empty.
That's a close call.
And I was in the middle of the intersection, and I was struck broadside by another car, and the ambulance was turned over.
Mm-hmm.
It so happened turned over on my side, and I could visualize myself going out the door. So happened I didn't. That was my closest call.
Do you have to be a doctor on your job?
No, we aren't doctors. All is required is American Red Cross first aid card.
Mm-hmm. And four gear shifts, huh? Well, maybe you can help me. My little Scotty is suffering from a broken bone. What should I do?
Well, I'd put the bone in a splint.
Well, that wouldn't help. My dog's suffering because he forgot where he buried the bone. Now, suppose I'm a wreck. Suppose I'm in a bad wreck and I'm knocked out cold. What should I do?
Call an ambulance.
I see. One little point I'd like to clear up. How am I going to call an ambulance if I'm unconscious?
That's right, you couldn't. Someone else would have to do it for you.
This is the worst coma I've ever been in, huh? This guy won't even let me lie there without yammering into a telephone. I'll probably never get to the hospital unless a bus comes along. Next time I'm unconscious, I assure you I won't call your ambulance. Now, Band-Aid, what's the most common type of accident?
Well, accidents in the home are the most common types of accidents.
We had a big powder explosion at my home the other night. My wife found the powder on my sleeve and exploded. Now, Mr. Romaine, how about auto accidents? Los Angeles is the worst place in the world for traffic mishaps, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What is the record here? Do you know about?
Approximately every 30 minutes, a person is hit with an auto.
Well, how can he stand it, huh? He must be your best customer. You ought to sell him a weekly commutation ticket. Now tell me, Mercuricome, have you ever had a race with a stork?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever had a race with an ostrich? Has the stork ever won the race?
Yes.
What did you do?
Well, I remember one time when the stork beat me to it.
What'd you do, stick your neck in the sand?
No, each ambulance is equipped with a obstetrical kit. That's standard equipment on all the ambulances.
Yeah.
We just pull over to the side of the road and finish the delivery, and then immediately hurried back into the hospital.
Yeah. How was the delivery? Pretty regular? Yeah. Well, you run a very efficient pickup and delivery service. What was the most embarrassing incident of your career as an ambulance driver?
Well, it isn't so embarrassing, but it happened so many times. We pull up to the house in front of a patient's home, prepare to get out and go into the house, and the lady across the street usually says, "Milkman, will you leave a quart of milk here next?"
They think you're a dairy, huh?
Yeah.
You don't need the milk for 8 days, so yeah. Suppose you had to get in an ambulance, Mrs. Meldon, how would you do it?
Well, I'd call the operator.
How do you know she has an ambulance? Well, let's see if it'll work. Go ahead. You're on the phone. Now, how would you ask for an ambulance?
Well, I'd say, operator, I want an ambulance.
Any particular color? what do you want it for?
Why, I'm going to have a baby.
I'm sorry, I'm all out of babies. Anything else you'd be interested in?
No, I just want an ambulance.
Well, why didn't you say so? I'll send one right out. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ambulance driver? So you get service on this phone. Now, ambulance driver, if she called like that, would she get the ambulance?
No, she wouldn't.
Why not?
She made the same mistake so many other people make. She forgot to give her address before she hung up.
Well, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. By this time, the baby's big enough to walk over to the house. Now, Mr. Romaine, I don't want to put you out of business, but I think all of us ought to do everything we can to make less work for ambulance drivers. And we can do it by driving carefully and by crossing only at intersections. Now, you're going to play your bet your life for $1,500. If you run your $20 into more than the other couples, you get a chance at the $1,500 question. Fenneman, remind our listeners how much the first couple won. Here we go. Let's say Ohio can build you $20. What question category did you select? Name the dance.
Name the dance.
Name the dance. All right. Here's your first question. You have $20. How much are you going to bet? How much are you going to bet of the 20?
We're going to bet $10.
Okay. Now, what kind of a dance would you do to this music? Play, Stan. Hula dance is correct.
They're on their way. They have $30.
Remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. How much of your $30 will you bet now?
What do you say? Another 10?
You bet anything you want. Just talk right up.
Whatever I want. Well, let's make it 20.
20? All right. All right, here we go. Let's see if you can identify this dance. Okay, Stan. Minuet is right. That comes from that steak minuet. That's where they originally got that from. Now, here's your third question. How much of your $50 will you bet on this one? Talk right up loud. Talk right up. How much are you going to bet? Shout it out to the world.
40.
No, no. The way you shout 40, it sounded like 80, huh? That'll teach me to keep quiet. Now, here's your third question. You have $50. How much? You're going to bet 40. What kind of a dance would you do to this music?
No. Wait a minute.
Ah.
You together?
No, wait a minute.
Conga?
Conga.
You together? Is that right?
What do you decide on? What have you decided on?
Conga.
Right?
Conga. I think it's the conga.
Do you?
I think
it's a woman.
You say it. No, it's the conga.
All right, she says conga.
Well.
That's right. And now I have $90.
You certainly wiggled into that answer. We may have to strap these contestants down. Huh? Now you have $90.
Now, wait a minute.
Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 90 are you going to bet? And talk right up into the microphone.
We got 90. If we bet it all, we got 180.
And then if you don't, is that less than that?
Well, come on now. You can't take too much time.
What do you want?
Time is a waste, man.
I mean, come on.
No,
let the man make the decision. You're the boss.
Let's shoot the works.
You're going to shoot the works. Yeah. You're going to bet the whole 90. All right, here we go. What kind of a dance? What kind of a dance would you do to this music? Talk right up in the head. One answer, please, and decide on one answer. Talk right up.
Lumber.
What is the answer you two have decided upon?
Not the...
It's a tango. Hear those bells.
It's that samba. It's that samba, you know. I can't say that.
What do you think it is?
What are you going to say now?
It's the... Sunday-like.
And they wind up with $180.
You got $180. You should really get only $160 for mispronouncing samba, huh? Well, thanks and good luck from Elgin American Compacts. Now, in just 1 minute, our last couple will play the Elgin American game, and then we know who gets the chance at the $1,500 question. Fenneman, it's your turn.
Here's one question of age. Any woman will answer if she can. How old is your dresser set? You'll say it's far too old when you see the glamorous new ones by Elgin American. It's amazing what smartness one of these dresser sets will give your bedroom, what pride you'll take in it. There's a choice of beautiful styles and designs at prices you'll want to pay. You'll appreciate the extra clear reflection from the specially ground mirrors. Combs are hand-cut. Bristles are nylon. And you can have a matching powder jar, too, with or without music. Really, nothing quite equals the beauty for your boudoir that a lovely new Elgin American dresser set can give.
Soon know who's going to earn the most money tonight and get the chance at the $1,500 question. George, who's ahead so far?
Well, the housewife and the ambulance driver are leading with $180. And here's our final couple, Groucho. They've been in a waiting room offstage, so they don't know the secret word is people. P-E-O-P-L-E. Okay, boys, bring them in.
Last ones.
We invited several newsboys and some city editors to the show tonight, and here come the two selected by our studio audience just before we went on the air. Newsboy Morris Blacker and editor Casey Sean meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome for Elgin American Compacts, and if you say the secret word at any time we're talking, you each win a 16-millimeter Apollo Sound movie projector. It's a common word, something you see every day. Couple of newspaper men, eh? News vendor Morris Blacker, is that right?
Yes, sir, Blacker.
How old are you? And don't shout the answer, huh?
Only 43.
43, huh? Are you married?
Yes, sir.
Any little throwaways at home?
Two.
How'd you meet your wife?
Oh, I used to go out gambling on the boat a lot of times, and I used to have gotten the habit of leaving my money with her, and I got so I'm still leaving it with her.
Oh, I'm afraid you didn't understand the question. I asked you how you met your wife.
Oh, she was
not,
working
not
in the drugstore.
Not what you did with your money, huh?
She comes
later, huh?
She worked in a drugstore. She was a clerk.
Clerk in the drugstore?
Yes, sir.
And you?
I was a newsboy yet.
And?
I didn't work at night.
And how did you meet her?
And I used to buy cigars and cigarettes from her.
Mm-hmm. That's all you ever bought in the drugstore? Casey Shawhan, is that how you pronounce it?
That's right.
Shawhan. Are you married, Casey?
Yes, sir. 23 years.
I see. You don't believe in freedom of the press, huh? Now, tell me, editor, what newspaper do you work for?
The Los Angeles Mirror.
You think it's the best paper in town?
It's one of the best.
It's a careful answer. Why do you think it's the best?
I think we're the most aggressive. We've got newer ideas. We've got newer presses. We're faster. We try to humanize the news. We try to be fair.
But you have to sit sideways to read it, huh?
Come on. You haven't bought a mirror lately?
Not recently, no. I have a mirror at home for shaving, but not much news on that. Not any news that I want to see, anyhow. I'm horrified in the morning when I look at it. Huh? Now, newsboy, do you agree with Casey here? About
no,
the merits of this paper, huh?
I sell all five of them.
You do, huh? Have you two met each other officially?
We did after we'd been here on the stage once.
Uh-huh. Well, let's make some headlines. Editor has a nose for news, and nosy meet nosy, huh? I now pronounce you man and boy. That'll be 7 cents, please.
Mirror's a nickel.
Oh, mirror's a nickel? Oh, it hasn't gone up to 7 cents. Huh? Let's see. Well, I may...
Take a subscription to that, huh? Where do you hawk your papers, newsboy?
Hollywood and Vine.
That's a pretty good corner, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
How many people do you estimate pass by there in a day?
I've only been there 18 years.
I didn't ask you that, huh? That's like asking if you're married and you say your girl keeps your money, huh? You don't know how many people pass there approximately?
About 100,000, I guess.
100,000, and how many papers do you have to sell in a day to make a good living?
Well, you make 2.5 cents a paper. And
does that include
I guess
the Mirror? Huh?
Yeah, they pay the same amount of money.
He's watching you there.
About 400 or 500, I guess, makes a good living.
Requires plenty of shouting, huh?
Yes, sir.
And do you sell less when it's raining, I suppose?
I do and I don't. It all depends whether I want to get wet.
Now, five star, that's you, Flash. What are your duties as a city editor?
Well, you assign all the reporters, photographers, the stories of the day, reporters all over town, Hollywood, downtown, the beats. You try to balance up the news. You try to have something funny, something tragic, something scandalous.
Well, how do you find out all the news? Do you have enough men to cover all the keyholes in town?
Unfortunately, no.
Now, I'd like to present the ideal gifts to you, gentlemen. For each of you, a slim, oblong cigarette case and silver finish by Elgin American. Pretty nice, huh?
Very nice.
Thank you, Joe. Now, tell me, editor, what do you have to know to become a city editor, besides how to read?
Well, you have to be a gossip. You have to be inquisitive. You have to learn to be a reporter, know which is news, which is headlines. We have to think for headlines.
That sounds like an important job, is it?
Supposed to be.
He doesn't commit himself this far.
Well, there's doubts about that one.
Well, I guess it's debatable. Now, the stuff you dig up is what sells newspapers, eh?
That's what we think.
What do people read most in a newspaper?
Well, probably the funnies or tops.
Well, that proves how important the city editor is, huh? Little Abner's smarter than the publisher, huh? Now, tell me, voice of the title, I understand the volume. I understand the volume of your newspaper sales depends on the type of headline on the front page. What makes a good headline?
Good murder story with a lot of blood in it. Movie scandal.
What's the best headline you ever had?
VJ Day.
Well, that was a nice headline. Do you ever rewrite the headlines yourself to make them more sensational?
I do if they only put a couple of words on it.
You embellish them, you know. Do you approve of that, editor?
It sells papers, sure.
It sells papers. The editor's standards are not as high as I thought they would be. Let's see how good you are. Suppose the paper had a dull headline like, City Council votes sales tax. How would you pep it up to sell your papers? Go ahead, shout it out.
City Council wants more money.
Well, that's not news. Or you could holler, big robbery at City Hall. Even that's not news. Now, Drew Pearson, who makes the best news stories, men or women?
Women.
Why?
You can use pictures.
Mustn't they be young women for pictures?
Better.
Better. Old women are more newsworthy than young men?
If they got money.
Well, if a young girl has money, she doesn't have to be in the newspaper. What kind of news sells the most papers?
Well, crime.
And they say crime doesn't pay, huh? Now, Gravel Throat, do you agree with that?
No, yes. Crime does pay there.
You think the best news is...
Crime.
Is crime. Well, we ought to have more of it then. Got to keep these papers going, you know. Even if it obliterates a few people here and there. Mr. Shawhan, what was the biggest mistake you ever made? In newspaper business, I mean.
I think the Byrd flight, when Admiral Byrd was flying to Paris, I think it was 1927... We wrote a headline. We got a flash from Paris that Bird had landed in Paris. We come down the next morning and found out he'd landed in the sea.
And it's not good if a bird lands in the sea.
No.
Unless it's a seagull.
Well, we were 200 miles off.
Well, that's not much for the mirror, is it?
It wasn't the mirror.
Oh, it wasn't the mirror, huh?
I wouldn't care to mention the name of the paper.
No,
it's
well,
local.
I don't blame you for keeping quiet about it. You can tell me later if you want to. Now, Foghorn, as a newsboy, what's the biggest mistake you ever made?
Was about 2 months ago. A man paid me $20 he owed me.
It's the biggest mistake you ever made?
No, he gave me the $20, but I sold a man a paper for it, and I gave him the $20 in the paper and took 7 cents and said, thank you. And threw it in the car.
Well, what'd you do, kill yourself?
And I started looking for it, and I seen all the rest of the cars on Hollywood and Vine.
You never got the money back?
No, I didn't hear from him, but...
Well, that's too bad. Why don't you get a different corner?
I was.
Now, being at one of the most famous corners in the world, do tourists ever ask you for information?
Oh, yes, well...
What do they usually want to know?
Well, they asked about...
Just tonight, the sponsor has to be up here.
They do ask me where the Chinese Grandmans is and where they can see movie stars.
Yeah.
And how they walk through the studios. Well, I tell them where the Chinese theater is.
Yeah.
And movie stars, they'd have to board a Tanner bus sometime. They're right through the studio, and on Friday nights, there's quite a few going to the Brown Derby. Advise them as much as possible.
And what's the oddest question a stranger ever asked you?
An elderly... person come up to me one time. He looked around as if he was lost. He was looking for something. He come up to me. He says, say, do you know anything?
That was a stickler, wasn't it? What did you answer him?
I didn't know what to answer him. I looked at him.
Was he satisfied with that? Now, editor, do you think television will ever replace the newspaper?
No, sir.
I agree with you. Can't get a television set in the bottom of a bird cage. Well, editor, let's see how good a newspaper man you are. You be the inquiring reporter, and I'm just arriving on a banana boat from Brazil. Now you go ahead and fire some questions.
Did you have a good trip?
I don't know. I'm still full of bananas.
How's the coffee situation down in Brazil?
I don't know. I'm still full of bananas.
How long do you expect to be up in this country?
Until the women shorten their skirts.
How many bananas you bring up?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning on an orange boat.
What's it?
Well, after talking to you two, I'm convinced no news is bad news, huh? Let's see how you can work together as a team for $1,500. You're the last couple to play, you bet your life. Beat the other two couples and you get the $1,500 question. I can't tell you how much they won, but George is offstage to remind our listeners. Here we go. Let's see how high you can build your $20. What question category did you select?
Questions about dice.
Slang expressions used in dice games. That's something a newspaper man ought to be pretty familiar with, huh?
We hope.
And the newsboy, too. Now, here's your first question. How much will you bet? You have $20. How much are you going to risk?
Just about 10.
10.
10? All right. Snake eyes is the slang expression for what throw and dice?
Two aces.
Two aces is correct.
We're off to a good start. We have $30.
Remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. How much of your $30 will you bet on this one?
20.
20.
All right. Little Joe from Kokomo is what throw?
Two twos.
Two twos is right.
Really on their way. They have $50 now.
You now have $50. You're going to get that 20 back of that stranger. Now, here's your third question. How much are you going to bet of the 50?
40.
40? All right with you, editor?
It's okay.
Okay. Captain Hicks is what throw? Captain Hicks is what throw? No, I'm sorry. Captain Hicks is a throw of 6. That's a pretty tough one.
They now have $10.
You now have $10. Now, here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 10 are you going to bet on this one?
Bet the 10.
You're going to bet the 10. Boxcars is what throw?
2 sixes.
2 sixes is correct.
And they wind up with a total of $20. And that means the housewife and the ambulance driver get a chance at the big question.
Congratulations. In just 30 seconds, I'll ask the $1,500 question.
Remember, the name Elgin American stands for the finest compacts, the loveliest dresser sets to be found. And you'll find them at leading jewelry stores, department stores, and specialty shops. In rich colors, silver finish, jeweler's bronze, and sterling silver to please your taste and your pocketbook. Keep yourself in perfect compact fashion. Your bedroom in beautiful dresser set condition with Elgin American. Look at your compact tonight. And here's the winning couple, the housewife and the ambulance driver.
Well, back again to try for $1,500, eh? Good luck. I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on the single answer between you, so talk it over thoroughly and no help from the audience, please. Here it is for $1,500 in cash. The 10th president of the United States at the age of 71 renounced the Union and became a Confederate congressman. Who was this 10th president? What is the answer you two have decided upon?
One answer.
One answer between you. Take a stab. Time's up. Come on.
Well, we haven't come to a complete answer, but we think it might have been Andrew Jackson.
I'm sorry. The answer is John Tyler.
Okay.
So that means the big question next week will be worth $2,000. You've been a wonderful team, and in addition to your gifts from Elgin American, you earned $180 in the quiz. And don't forget, you each won an Apollo Sound movie projector. Congratulations and thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
The Elgin American Show, You Bet Your Life, is a John Goodell production. Transcribed from Hollywood, directed by Bob Dwan. Editor, Bernie Smith. Music by Stanley Myers. Remember, next week's big question pays $2,000. Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at this time for You'll Bet Your Life, starring Groucho Marx, presented by the creators of America's most beautiful compact, smartest cigarette cases, and finest dresser sets, Elgin American.
Good night, folks. Have you looked at your compact lately?